This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
We're going to hear some gossip.
What's going on?
We're going to find out what's in this month's Star Observer. So he's going to tell us all about, like, what partners are broke up, who was seen leaving Weta Wellington at 2 a.m. with a smile on his face. I mean, this is the gossip we're going for, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it's actually funny because at one stage the Star Observer did have a regular segment where we'd have, like, gossip around that, like, more around that kind of stuff, but it got us into trouble, so we kind of stopped it.
Good morning, Matthew Wade, editor of Star Observer.
Correct, the editor.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
and let's just tell everyone on the radio there, you're way too attractive to be, you know, you should be on TV.
You're listening, channel, whatever. No, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very flattering.
Yeah. Also, my glasses are very dirty.
No. You ruined it after you said that. You were going so well.
It's your 39th birthday. Not yours.
Oh, no, not mine, but it's, the Star Observers. It's this, I think July the 7th was when we had our first ever issue out in 1979. So, it's just amazing to think, really. I mean, I know, well, I was going to say Victorian's Council, now it's Thorn Harbour Health. They, recently celebrated their 35th. Obviously, Mardi Gras celebrated their 40th. And, you know, we've actually been around for all of it as well. So, it's actually such a big landmark. And next year will be the big one. But, 39 is a massive year. So it's exciting.
I mean, all those years ago, I just remember, you know, having to run down King Street in Newtown and steal the Sydney Star Observer. And because, I mean, there was no one online. And it was like, you had to look around and make sure your parents and your neighbours weren't watching you to try to grab the newspaper from out of front of the Newtown Hotel. And it was like, they go home and like, oh, there's men in underwear. Yay!
It's so true. And like, even some quite popular, famous local drag queens these days say that, you know, even before they got into drag, when they were earlier living in Sydney, that would almost be like their gateway into, you know, the scene, what was going on. Because, at that time, they maybe weren't as comfortable with their, you know, sexuality. So, yeah, it's just amazing to think just all the major milestones and landmarks and times in our community that the paper has seen. And it's amazing that for a print product, like a magazine, but B, a non-profit community one is still around, so like 39 years later. So, yeah, that's big.
Now, Matt, you mentioned Thorn Harbour Health. That's the Victorian AIDS Council have rebranded.
Yeah, so I guess to mark their 35th anniversary, because the thing is, I guess, you know, when they started, it was very much to tackle the HIV and AIDS crisis. But since then, I mean, it's evolved so much. And so they not only deal with HIV-positive people, but also deal with lots of different LGBTI health issues. So smoking, drugs, alcohol. So I guess the name is kind of to reflect the breadth of things that they actually cover these days. And the name itself, Thorn Harbour, is named after two of the early activists. So Alison Thorn, who was actually the first person to suggest making an AIDS organisation in Melbourne, and Keith Harbour, who was, I think, the fourth president of the group. So, yeah.
Well, that's really nice. I was going to bag that name now. Yeah. Now I know it's got like...
Thorn Harbour.
I mean, God, yeah. No, I have to say thank you, Matt, for doing that, because it stopped me bagging. Good on you, Mrs. Thorn and Mr. Harbour.
Yeah. Well, it's true, because I guess a lot of people on social media in the last couple of days, and I've noticed, you know, without realizing, I guess because it's not obvious what the name is referring to, people are kind of like, I don't get it. Like, what is it supposed to indicate? But I guess, you know what, if granted the word gets around that, like, who it's actually honouring, I think, it's nice homage to the, you know, two of the early activists.
Now, we've got a copy of the July Star Observer in front of us. There's a very attractive man. Yeah. Tell us about him.
It's a little bit sticky on the second and third page.
Oh, okay. In my copy, or is that one over there? As long as, that's fine.
This is Tom's copy.
He's so attractive, that man.
Look, I will say in the last, I mean, if anyone has some time to kill and is in a safer work environment,
his Instagram, a lot of underwear pictures. Just
his Instagram is very much a massive thirst trap these days. However,
is that what we call
it? Yeah. So basically just someone that posts photos, obviously to get, you know, some kind of.
So we're drooling over his pictures, I'm assuming. Is that
like, say that again?
We're drooling over the pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we have to confess before we reveal who he is, we got Andy to look up his Instagram before.
Of course,
and yes, it is a thirst trap.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I mean, I've still got sticky palms. I'm thinking about it.
Who are we talking about, Matt?
Okay, so Australia's first ever openly gay bobsledder, Simon Dunn, is the person that's on our cover. So he, back in, I think, 2014, was part of the national team in Australia. And then since then, he actually has gone on to play rugby. But I know.
Not very well.
Well, he's gone to the Bingham Cup, so the LGBT competition. I mean, they haven't won because I think the Sydney Convicts have actually won like 5 years in a row. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, these days we have Adam Rippon and Gus Kenworthy and out athletes like that. But Simon Dunn was actually out and a visible figure in the community for a lot longer. Like, he's been out for now several years. So, and actually, he just announced that he's retiring from competitive sports. So that was part of the reason why we put him on the cover, because, you know, he's done so much and been such a visible figure. And
which is a shame, because we do need more openly LGBTIQA, you know, people out there.
100%.
And I like him because, I mean, I'm a skier, and I thought I was the only gay boy who liked winter sports.
Oh, right.
And this guy is a bobsledder, so how good's that?
Yeah, but that's not real sport. That's lazy. That's a sport that I would do. Just get me drunk, put me in a little tube and slip me down the hill. I mean, it sounds like every Saturday night leaving the Peel, doesn't it? You know?
No, it's great. You know, he hasn't started off in one of the typical, you know.
No, you're right.
Sports,
yeah.
Which is really good.
It's true.
Yeah, it's the pick one I'd pick. The lazy one. You sit down. Yeah.
I figure we're covering our bases because the people that are interested in, obviously, the visibility in LGBTI sport can pick it up and read about that. But then also, obviously, he's not that hard to look at.
You know, so that's why you put him on the front cover. People are going, oh my goodness, who is this?
And there's a nice photo inside as well. I feel like I'm talking about Playboy, but there's like nice images inside as well.
Oh, no. We all buy the Star Observer for the articles. We're not in for the pictures.
There's some serious articles. Are you dealing with refugees as well?
Yeah. So I feel like in the last, well, I mean, it's not that this is a new issue, but particularly over the last year or two, a lot of LGBT people have kind of, in Australia particularly, have kind of started to mobilize and speak out in support of gay asylum seekers. So there was a group that formed in Melbourne called No Pride in Detention, and they've marched at refugee rallies and things like this. And we actually spoke to a young Ugandan man who just recently sought asylum here in Australia about, I guess, the difficulty for him, A, leaving his country as a gay man, but also finding asylum here, because obviously for a lot of people it's very difficult. So yeah, it's just an issue. Now that marriage equality is over, it's about, you know, what's kind of, what are the other issues we need to be focusing on? I think that's a really important one, because there are a lot of people that don't live in Australia that have it a lot worse off. You know, they can face death, or they can face a lot of really severe things for being just being gay. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It's not all about good looking.
I was going to say, yeah,
it's on the front cover.
The Latin dog, it's a balance, yeah.
and speaking about sport as well, trans and intersex inclusion in sport.
Yeah, like some of the listeners may be aware of, you know, obviously Hannah Mountsey recently, there was a lot about her, whether she would be able to compete in the Women's AFL League. But even just more broadly, I mean, there are still so many barriers for both trans and intersex athletes, and they're different barriers, but I thought it would be cool to kind of profile that in light of not only the recent AFL Pride games, but even Pride Cups and more community sporting groups. Even though these endeavors are really great for inclusion and visibility, there are people in the community who still find it very hard to, you know, participate. And those are, yeah, trans and intersex people.
We had Queer Eye, Matt, in the country.
Yes, yeah, so have
they
you
were
seen?
Yes, weren't they? No.
Yeah, they were. Have you seen the show at all? Like the
we have, because my daughter lives out at Canberra Hospital, so she says they went ballistic. There was billboards up everywhere going like, yeah, but they don't call it yes, they call it yas.
Yeah.
Is it yas?
Well, the town is called Yas because we're Bogans, you know, like, and it's just out of Goulburn, Canberra, behind Sydney type of thing.
Right.
But when they talk about it, they go, we're going to Yas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I mean, I think the reboot is amazing.
Way better than look, I really liked the original.
Thought
I'm not
was,
taking
yeah,
anything
yeah.
away from it, but I really like the new ones.
I think it's really, really great, and it's actually so affirming and positive. Like, it's one of those things where I know that the original was groundbreaking in terms of just having five gay men on TV at the time, but this one, I guess because we're past that point where we're a lot more visible anyway, the new one kind of very much allows the five men to kind of just go to a diverse range of people's homes and, you know, just, yeah, really spread a really positive message. And I must say that of the five of them, not that I'm trying to pick favorites, but Jonathan Van Ness, the groomer with the long hair, he's like a one-man show. They don't even need the other four. Like, I think he's amazing.
There's one thing that annoys me, and the problem is you're so positive and you're looking at me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're too nice. Where is the bitchy one?
Yeah.
They are so... Oh,
you
sometimes
join, Tom.
They get there and I think, oh, for God's sake, stop drinking the Kool-Aid, you idiots. Bitch slap the other one. Like, they're all so nice.
That's so true. And there's like, I think there's a video on YouTube the other day that was just literally a 5-minute video of the five of them just giving each other compliments.
I know.
So, yeah, it's very
I had never felt so sick to the stomach in my life. I mean, look, They need a bitchy one. I'm going in there. I'm sending Andy.
Yeah. Look, they'll need a replacement at some stage. So, yeah, I mean, throw your hat in the ring. But
the
yeah.
problem is they're all about 22 and good looking. I'm 54 and ugly. I mean, look, I'm not going to stand next to them on TV.
So if you want to read more about this, it's in the latest edition of Star Observer, the July edition. Where can people get it?
So we have the distribution list on our website if you want to check out starobserver.com.au. But if you're in Melbourne particularly, Joy is always a great place to pick some up. But they also have them at, you know, Hares and Hyenas, the gay bookshop, places around Collingwood and Fitzroy and the city as well. But if you want to, yes, find some.
And online.
And online. You can read the magazine online as well. Yeah.
Matt, you do a very good job.
Thank you.
I compliment you all the time. You know, read his articles. Don't just perv on the pictures.
Just the pictures, yeah. But just for the people that I know, that some people are listening, Instagram, Simon Dunn, you're welcome.
You've got to check it out.
But next time you're back, Simon, I want good gossip.
Okay.
I don't want this stuff about sport and like, you know, important things. I want the good gossip. I want to know who's doing who, backstabbing what, you know.
It's covering everything.
I've got your time. Next time, it's fine.
We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Matt Wade, editor of Star Observer. When you did have a job, did you used to have little bitching sessions?
Do you know what? I ain't even went to work to start them up. My plan in the day is I'd walk into work and think, right, which one am I after today? And then I'd go over to everybody else and start the gossip. You know, like,
so you start it.
And then I sit back at my desk, suck my pencil. You know, I like to bite the pencil and just watch the shit explode. That's the only reason I went to work. I mean, I don't think I ever did any job. And at the end of the year, they make you fill in this form about, what do you like, rate yourself? Yeah.
I used to
say,
did you used to do those 360 things where you rate yourself and rate someone else?
I don't know if I rated it. I just told everyone I was fantastic. I was humorous. I was the life of the party. Without me here, no one would be here. And you know, they didn't like that.
Didn't they?
No. I was just a lie.
They wanted you to be miserable.
Well, have you ever worked there? No, you haven't. I'm not allowed to mention the company.
Well, no, you're not allowed to. Well, a new study from the University of Melbourne has shown that bitching sessions act as a crucial pressure valve, particularly in high-stress roles, and allow people to process stress and frustration.
See, that's why gay men are so relaxed, because we bitch non-stop.
All the time.
We bitch continuously.
The lady conducting the study came to this conclusion after conducting extensive research into the habits of a team of healthcare professionals in American hospital and Australian hospitals, including nurses, doctors and surgeons. And she said the little rituals, she said, told the ABC, changed the mood of a meeting and allowing people to vent, and has a positive effect on the team as a whole.
So we should start all of our meetings when we come for a production meeting bitching. I think we always do.
She said it was particularly helpful when they were talking about senior management.
Do you know, isn't it funny? Because, you know, when you first meet Andy, he's very quiet. But if you notice, he's the bitch of the group. The first thing he says, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Well, here he goes. He's terrible.
And off he goes.
You know, even his mother sends me messages going, what does the bastard say behind my back? You know, like, even no one trusts you.
Yeah. Also says that there's no chance of emotional contagion because these bitching sessions only usually last less than a minute.
Oh, there's no way.
Apparently they last less. Because if they go over a minute, they can cross the line between a frustration outlet and therefore there's a contagion and other people will start feeling bad.
Oh, so that's why I like that bit. I think bitchiness should be like a disease. We should follow it on. People should catch it. It could keep spreading.
Well, she's saying, no, they're really good. They're really healthy to have, but you've got to keep them under 1 minute.
Ugh.
So next time.
Nothing enjoyable is under a minute. So let me tell you that.
Next time you're at work and you're going to have a bitching session, the best thing to do.
Well, we need some music because I need to bitch now. I need to bitch.
And get the timer out and keep it under a minute.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.